Talk Show.
Recorded live.
All right, bless the name of the Lord. Tonight, I'm going to be talking about an interesting topic that I don't believe is discussed enough in the body of Christ. Let me turn this music down just a little bit. I don't believe that it's talked enough in the body of Christ, and there's actually not a whole lot of clarity on this topic that I'm going to be discussing tonight in the body of Christ. As a matter of fact, I'm going to begin tonight as a series because there's some things that I want to touch on based on this particular topic. So tonight, if you're taking notes, and I want to encourage you to, especially if this is not your calling, but I think this is something that everybody should have knowledge of, whether you're in ministry or not. This is something that we all need to have knowledge on. And so tonight's teaching, tonight's training topic is the office of the pastor. Let me say that again. I know that probably just like the office of the pastor. Oh, man, we know about pastors. Okay, well, we're going to see what the Word of God says concerning the office of the pastor. Amen, amen. Tonight, again, we're going to be talking about the office of the pastor. And I think this is necessary because many of you that have been left, that are yet with us still, many of you have a strong prophetic call on your life. But one thing that I'm noticing about at least maybe two of you is that there is a collaborative anointing there. Now, I'll say that because I know that some of you have already possessed a book that I was sharing that and recommending that all of you get. And if you don't have it, you need to get it. It is a book by Paula Price, and it's titled The Prophet's Dictionary. I'm going to touch a little bit in the book tonight as far as definition-wise, but there's some things that I'm going to kind of pull out of the Word of God that I really want to touch on as well. And then there's some things that God has also imparted in my heart as an apostle that I want to also touch on and deal with. And then, like I said, we're going to deal with this particular subject in a series, I believe, and I'm really hearing in my spirit, I'm believing this is going to be a three-segment training between both tonight, next Wednesday, and the next following Wednesday. I'm going to be touching on this. I want to deal with the anointing or the office, as we would refer to in some ministries and some denominations, of the elder. I want to deal with the elder. And from there, I want to deal with the bishop. Now, watch this, y'all. The elder, the pastor, and the bishop are almost the same thing. We're going to deal with that in a little bit here. And I want to also talk about even positioning in the church because, you know, we've been, I was sharing this with one of the young women that is a part of our ministry here in Indiana. I was sharing with her how, you know, for years we've been ministries and we've been churches that have been pastor or bishop led. Even in some smaller Pentecostal congregations, we've been elder led. And I just want to touch on some things. I really want to touch, and for instance, specifically on the office of the pastor tonight and how it pertains to us today. So I want to pray, amen. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you right now for the anointing and the grace of God that is resting upon our lives on tonight, God. Father, I thank you for the topic that is getting ready to be spoken of and even expounded upon even in this hour, God. Lord, let me just first give honor to you, Lord, and I also want to honor those pastors that have gone before us, God, those that are specifically and prophetically declaring in the earth, God, the sound knowledge and wisdom that you have imparted into them, Father, and dealing with the flock that you have given them, God, and raising up people of God, Father, for this hour, Lord, as you entrusted in them, Father, to oversee your people, Father. And Lord, I pray now that the anointing of God that rests upon my life, Father, shall give them the not only the approval of the Lord, Father, but it shall stamp them with an apostolic grace, Father, to flow fluently in the things that concern the kingdom, God. Father, I pray that the anointing and the mandate for the kingdom assignment that has been set before them, God, as we go forth in this new decade, God, that we not look just at this year, Father, but we set the pace for a new season that is ahead of us, God, in the name of Jesus. God, I thank you for the glory of the Lord that shall rest upon the remnant of pastors that you are raising up and that you are infusing in the earth in this hour, Lord. In Jesus' name I pray. Father, I thank you right now, Father, that you're already dealing with our spirit concerning the office of the pastor, Lord. Then I rebuke anything that is taught in error, God, and I cancel the assignment of the enemy, Father, that will try to come and deceive us, oh God. In Jesus' name I pray. And Father, I thank you for your word. I thank you for your blood that covers us, Lord. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Praise God. Praise God. Amen. 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 Let's go to the scriptures. I want to go there real quickly. I'm feeling this thing tonight. And I want to go to Ezekiel chapter 34. I think that is an appropriate a chapter to start out with. I will say this. I began to take notes on this within the last hour, because the Lord just was again giving me so much information, and I wanted to, I can't even begin to convey what the Lord was putting in my spirit, but I want to share what is the heart of God on tonight, amen, and then the direction that I believe that the Lord is taking his this church in this next decade. Because I believe, because we have experienced a paradigm shift in the church, we have to realize that. And I keep reiterating this, and the Lord has been having me to elaborate on this in such an awesome way. But we cannot allow ourselves to be locked into the same mindset that we were in last year and the year before last. Because of the paradigm shift that has taken place in the earth, we have new instructions from the Lord. Now, don't get me wrong now when I say that, because the word of God is still true. It is the same today, yesterday, and forevermore. There is nothing new under the sun. But I believe that God is patterning, or the pattern that he's given us is not the same pattern that we followed in the past. We're not going to be a church that is locked inside of the mindset of the four walls or just the local church alone. God is raising up individual leaders and giftings that have a vision for the entire body of Christ. As we've talked so many times before in the past, the Bible tells us that over in Ephesians chapter, and I'm going to go there because I know I said Ezekiel 34, but my heart is in Ephesians right now. Let's go there. Let's read that. Amen. Ephesians chapter, I want to go to chapter 2 first, and then we're going to read chapter 4. Amen. Ephesians chapter 2. Bless the Lord. Amen. And it says over in verse, I had it and flipped away from it. Over in verse 20. Actually, in verse 19, I want to go up one. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 19, it says, "Now therefore ye are no more strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints." That's plural, y'all. Now, I know in the local church we got saints that are in our local church, and that also is plural. But I believe that when we look at this scripture, it is also stating that, you know, you got a fellow local church down the road, we shouldn't be strangers with them. You know, in the average Afro-American community, there are at least, for every block, there are at least 3 to 5 churches for every block. And I took a poll one time, believe it or not, and found out that within the same block, those churches that have existed on the same block and from have many of years as they've existed there, not one time have they ever fellowshiped with one another. That's sad, y'all. It's sad. It's really sad. Not one time have the pastors collaborated with one another to come on one accord. Now, that's not to say that that didn't happen in your neighborhood. I know it'll be a lot of leaders that will probably dispute that. Oh, yeah, we got pastors that live down the street from us. We fellowship with them once or twice. And, you know, I never forget there was a time when I was still attending the local church that we were in Gary some years back, and I was given charge over not so much the youth ministry, but we had a Saturday ministry that we did once a month, whereas we did open mic, and we would have Christian rappers come in, and we would have poets, and we would do the Polish sausages and pizza and chicken wings and stuff, and it was almost like a Christian Christian nightclub. I know some of y'all don't get off into that, and that's all right. That's your thing, amen. But we were trying to draw the young people, and we were trying to show them that Christ is the answer, and we had some success in it, and we attempted to fellowship with many of the leaders that were at least within our zip code, let's put it that way. And I remember typing up letters. I had gotten permission from my leaders to go and to solicit the other leaders that were nearby. We had a couple. We were only church on our block, but there was on about two blocks away from us, there was another ministry, and then so on and so forth. It was at least within a five-mile radius. We have maybe touched at least six or maybe about six to eight churches, and I was even able to conversate one-on-one with several pastors, and not one of them were willing to come together and to support. And so, you know, I shared a couple of weeks ago, matter of fact, back in November, I shared that there are 12 things that happen and occur in each of our cities when it pertains to witchcraft. There are 12 things that Satan is prey or safe for daily, and I believe I shared this with you all before. But one of the things that are on the list is that, matter of fact, there are several of them that concerns the pastors especially. And that one is that pastors, ministers, and leaders of the body fall into dispute and turn on each other. This is one of the things that Satanists or witches pray in your city. When you're not sleeping. As a matter of fact, it's interesting because right now we are presently within the second prayer watch hour. The first watch hour began at 6 p.m., and now we're in the second, and we're going to be entering into the third watch hour come midnight. Now, between the hours of midnight and 3 a.m., which is the time when most of these witches begin to pray, these Satanists, this is what they're praying, is that their pastors, ministers, and leaders of the body fall into dispute and turn on each other. Watch this here. Watch this. This is another one here. The other one is that there is no unity of pastors and churches within cities. Now, you know, I remember and I recall very vaguely when we were going out and we were sharing and putting out flyers and we were sending out letters and we were knocking on doors and we were letting the people know that we were really interested in seeing the community of God in that particular area come together, and we thought that it, at least if they saw the churches come together first, that the community will also begin to come together because they would not see any dispute amongst one another. And not one time did we get any contact or did we even get a reply from any of those pastors that we went and touched. And, you know, naturally we would get upset and we would get uncomfortable in our flesh, and we would go as far as to say that, you know, what is the problem with these leaders? Why is this happening? When in fact it's not so much the pastors don't want to come together. It's just that because they're not they're not spiritually sound in what's really going on in their region, they don't let me back up. Not so much that they're not just spiritually sound, but because they don't have other offices and giftings in place, they can't see. Like my dad used to teach us when we was coming up as kids. He said, "Boy, you can't see the forest for the trees." And so there is no one spiritual enough to see the offset of what the enemy is doing behind the scenes. And what the enemy's his number one goal is, and he got two goals, and he's praying for it daily, is that there would be no unity of the pastors and churches within the cities, and that the pastors and the ministers and the leaders of the body fall into dispute with one another. You know what? Isn't actually, watch this. Here's another one, and this is why you got to be so careful. Don't be so eager. Don't be so quick to want to pastor folks just because they come to your church. Watch this. The other thing that most witches pray is that the pastors and leaders fall into illness and disability so that they can no longer carry on. I was sharing, I don't know if I shared this with you guys, but there was, I was on the radio program out here one Friday morning on the local Chicago radio program. As some of you all know, we're on WYCA radio. And one morning I had a call from an individual that she wanted a word from God. Let me just say that much. She wanted me to prophesy to her. Now, I had released some prophetic words to some previous callers that called in that morning. And when this particular woman had called in, the Lord did not allow me to give her a prophetic word. But she wanted one. I mean, she really wanted one. Matter of fact, she wanted one so bad that when I hung up with her off the air, she called back to the radio station, to the engineer, just to give him her number so that I would call her. She wanted me to talk to her that bad. And on the air, she did make mention of being one that had came out of forms of witchcraft, and she mentioned that she was part of a local church in the area, in the city of Gary, and you know, I told her, this is something that you need to go back and speak to with concerning your pastors, because there were some questions that she had asked me that I thought that it would be essential for her that she would go back and ask her pastors. It's one of the things that I've always done on public radio, especially here, is to find out if they have a local church and if they're under somebody's shepherding or up under somebody's oversight. And when she told me, I mean, I called her off the air and talked to her a little further after I saw that it seemed like she really needed some help. And she began to tell me how her mother was a witch. She was a full-blown witch right here in the city of Gary. Matter of fact, she was the term she used, but she had some ranking, and she was like the highest of all of them in the city. And she explained to me how her mother had altars that she had erected, and they believed that the type of witchcraft that they were doing, and I'm going to tell you how serious they take this, it's almost a religion to them. Their witchcraft, their Wicca, so to speak, is just as much a religion to them, just as much as us serving the Lord is for us. And they actually believe that they're doing God's work. They're not doing our God's work, I tell you that much. But long story short, she began to explain to me how she was still living with her mother, but she was interested in the things of God, and she admitted to even go as far as alone to say how she needed deliverance, and she was just trying to grow stronger in the Lord and how she had gotten better. And so I'm going to tell y'all something. The whole while I was talking to her, even on the phone, I can feel the spirit, that witchcraft spirit, penetrating through the phone. That's how strong it was on her. And come to find out, one of the churches that she had been attending in the city, it was a Baptist ministry over in Gary, and I was familiar with the ministry. And it didn't dawn on me who the leaders was until maybe a few weeks later, but I was familiar with the church. And she told me that the leaders, that they really could not talk to her, nor could they help her. Matter of fact, the pastor had gotten stricken with illness. He gotten so sick that he had to have surgery. And in the midst of him getting sick, his wife fell ill just as well. Everybody in the church got sick, and they could not continue with the work. And this is a result of witchcraft. And it didn't matter wherever that woman was going, regardless if she was trying to break free from witchcraft herself. She said she grew up in it. She was trying to believe God to come out of it, but it was difficult for her to break free from it because she was still up under the covering of her mother, living in the house. She was still attached to it. You're living in a home where there are the satanic altars erected? Come on now. She was still touching the unclean thing and just being a part of that ministry. Now, you know, naturally as pastors, as leaders, you know, because we've cast out devils before and because we perform awesome and great works, the first thing that we want to do is to actually come say, come on, be a part of our church. Come on and join our ministry. Come on in. And the Lord began to speak to me the whole while, because I was like in my spirit, I was like, man, you know, maybe we can help her. We can probably get her some deliverance. But I gave her some sound instructions. I told her the first thing you're going to need to do is move out of your mama house, because you'll never get free still being up under your mama. I know you love your mama, but deep down inside, you know she's not doing right. And for you to stay there, remain under that covering, you'll never break free from this spirit. And everywhere you go, that same spirit is going to wreak havoc on that church or that ministry that you become a part of. Because all that is connected to her, it will filter through you wherever you go. And so oftentimes we'll come into contact with people that have this spirit on us. And let me tell you, as leaders, especially as pastors, and I don't know why I'm hitting on this up front, straight off the press. As pastors, if you don't have a prophetic engagement in your church, and when I mean a prophetic engagement, there's got to be prophetic activity going on in your church, because there's going to be times when the enemy will come in, and the Bible says that he will come in like a flood. And oftentimes he'll send agents of the devil that will come and they'll sit in your ministry and they'll start from the back and work their way to the front. And before you know it, they'll be touching and laying hands on the folks. And you'll be trying to figure out why all of a sudden your ministry is in an uproar, because you haven't dealt with this spirit. That spirit came into your church and it began to wreak havoc on the people, all because you was eager to get a member. We have to be careful. The Bible says to know them that labor among you. And that's not just a statement for leadership, but that is a statement for anybody and everybody that pertains to you. Because we don't know the intentions of people right off hands. You'll never know. And we have to be careful before we put them up and we raise them up and we endorse them to do the work of the Lord. So we got three major things that are happening that concerns pastors. The Satanists are praying. They're praying against the work of God. Now, I want to say this because we were in the Word, that when we begin to contact and we begin to come into contact with other believers, it's necessary, number one, especially as pastors, as leaders, that we break that spirit. Having knowledge of knowing that Satanists will pray, that pastors won't come together, they won't unify, we need to break that thing up front. We need to deal with it. Paul told the church of Ephesus, he says that we are no more strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and of the household of God. Matter of fact, Galatians chapter 6, verse 10, it tells us, as we therefore have opportunity, let us do good unto all. Matter of fact, I'm going to read that. It says, as we therefore have opportunities, let us do good unto all men, especially unto them who are of the household of faith. That means everybody. I don't care whatever the heck the name of that church is. I don't care if it's Tutu Tabernacle Church of God in Christ. If it's Blow Me Down Kingdom of God. I don't care what the heck the name of the church is. Is if we there, if we have an opportunity, let us do good unto the entire household of faith. Oh, some of y'all will get that idea, and some of us will be like, oh well, you know, I don't think they serving the same God I'm serving, because if they were serving the same God I'm serving, they wouldn't be good. Forget that mess. I am so sick and tired of all of this judgment that we bring upon one another. I don't know why I felt led in my spirit. I haven't tweeted in a long time, y'all, but I was tweeting tonight about love. I believe it was a result because I saw an email that was written by a leader. It was written by a spiritual leader that actually used to be under our covering. Amen. And she wrote a letter back to another apostle, and you know, and it may have been some truth in it, but I could not exactly receive what was being said, and not so much in the fact that she was being honest, but the fact is that, let me tell y'all something. It doesn't matter if your fellow brethren miss it, if they can't grab hold to the truth of God, if for some reason they just didn't get it the first time, if they didn't get it the second time, it is not our job to judge them. It's not. It is not our job to judge them. It would behoove us to cast judgment on our brother and not so much go and cut them off, but we just say, oh, I'll be praying for you. Come on, we got to do better than that, y'all. We got to do better. Sometimes prayer is just not good enough. Sometimes you can be one that's praying for a specific need, and that need requires men to give into your bosom. And that's what the Word of God said. He says that men will give into your bosom, pressed down, shaken together, and running over. Y'all heard me say that so many times often. Men are disobedient, and we don't do what God tells us to do. You know, I'm sick of hearing the comments about how people say, Lord, I gave when you told me to give. I did what you told me to do. Oh, yeah, you might have done it, but you have did it. And the fact that you have did it don't mean that you did it fully. You didn't do it out of your heart. Look what Ananias and Sapphira did. Here the whole church was giving and selling all of their possessions and giving all that they had and landed at the feet of the apostles. But they decided that they was going to hold back a portion of what they sold and keep a little bit for themselves. And that's what we've been doing. We haven't been giving it all when God tells us to give it. Whether it's financially, whether it is of ourselves, we are not doing all that we possibly can do. And so the men and the women of God that should be blessed, regardless if whatever failure that they may have had, let me tell you something. The Bible says love has no failure. Love never fails. Love can't fail. And so if you love someone, remember what the Word of God said. How can you tell a man that you don't love a certain individual and then turn around and say you love God? You don't love God. How can you say that about a person that you ain't never seen and then God you ain't seen, you still saying, oh, Lord, I love you? No, we got to do better than that. We got to do better than that. And we need, and I'm telling you, I believe that God is raising up pastors that are going to be in position to impart that love again, that know how to release that love of God back on his people. Praise God. Watch this. It says in verse 20, it says, and are built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone. And so going back to what we said about the churches that we've been conditioned to understand in our day, in our age, as being pastor-led, elder-led, or bishop-led churches, and we've entirely we have omitted in some of our beliefs and in even some of our I want to say Pentecostal church structures, we have omitted or we have displaced both the offices of the apostles and prophets. Amen. But I believe that God allowed us to come up in a time where the office of the pastor has been very essential for us. I don't think that the church would have not have made it as far as it did if it had not been for the pastors, if it had not been for the pastor teacher, if it had not have been for the prophetic pastors that God infused in the earth, if it had not been for the evangelical pastors, those pastors with the outreach ministries, if God had never touched the hearts of these pastors over the years, over the last decades and centuries that we've been conditioned to be in these type of ministries, I don't think the church would have made it this far if God had not touched the hearts of the pastors. And so we don't entirely put the pastor's office down in a sense because the church has become so apostolic and so prophetic. We're so kingdom-minded now that we've forgotten about the hard work that the pastors have done. Pastors put in work, y'all. Let me tell y'all, it's a tough task to be a pastor. Pastoring takes a lot out of you. It takes away from your family from time to time. You know, that's why the Bible says, and it gives the instructions on being a bishop or being a deacon, and which is the same as an elder or for a, yet even so a pastor. And it gives us these sound instructions how we must be good stewards of our homes. Amen. Because there's going to be times when, because you're in the office of an overseer, there's going to be times when you're going to be pulled away from your responsibilities in the home, and your attention will be required in the house of the Lord. And you would have to be a strong man that has really dealt with your family in order to be able to be pulled away from your home and to deal with other people. And, you know, even as an apostle, even as a pastor of our church, you know, I tip my hat off to the pastors. I tip my hat off to those that have labored in the things of God over the years, those that have given their life to shepherding, those that have touched the hearts of many and that have been a blessing to so many souls that have come into the kingdom of God. I tip my hat off to those pastors because it's not an easy task. Pastoring requires your life. It requires your blood. It requires your tears. It requires you praying and fasting and seeking the heart of God, not so much just the face of God, but you also have to go after the heart of God. I believe that David had a such an awesome shepherding dimension on his life, because we know that he was after the heart of God. Amen. And it's very crucial in this hour that we learn to recognize our pastors. Here, let's look. Let's go to Ezekiel 34. Let's move there. I guess I am going to be in this for a while tonight because I'm barely getting started. And the Lord, I told y'all, he put some stuff in my spirit. I was just like y'all sitting up on a computer downloading some information, and I felt the Lord click the open button, amen, and the save button all at the same time, and begin to download that information in my spirit, amen. And I'm telling y'all, I feel good tonight. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Amen. Let's go back to Ezekiel chapter 34. Amen. Ezekiel chapter 34. Amen. And I'm going to begin at verse 1. I'm going to read the entirety of this because I feel that the Lord wants to speak tonight. And he's going to open up a window from heaven for us concerning the things of God and the office of the pastor. Here, let's read this. Y'all follow along with me. Amen. Ezekiel chapter 34. It says, "And the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Son of man, prophesy against the shepherds of Israel. Prophesy and say unto them, thus saith the Lord God unto the shepherds, woe be to the shepherds of Israel that do feed themselves. Should not the shepherds feed the flocks? Yet eat the fat, and ye clothe you with the wool. You kill them that are fed, but ye feed not the flock. The disease have ye not strengthened, neither have ye healed that which was sick, neither have ye bound up that which was broken, neither have ye brought again that which was driven away, neither have ye sought that which was lost, but with force and with cruelty have ye ruled them. And they were scattered because there is no shepherd, and they became meat to all the beasts of the field when they were scattered. My sheep wandered through all the mountains and upon every high hill. Yea, my flock was scattered upon all the face of the earth, and none did search or seek after them. Therefore, ye shepherds, hear the word of the Lord. As I live, saith the Lord God, surely because my flock became a prey, and my flock became meat to every beast of the field, because there was no shepherd, neither did my shepherds search for my flock. But the shepherds fed themselves and fed not my flock. Therefore, O ye shepherds, hear the word of the Lord. Thus saith the Lord God, behold, I am against the shepherds, and I will require my flock at their hand, and cause them to cease from feeding the flock. Neither shall the shepherds feed themselves any more, for I will deliver my flock from their mouth, and they may not be meat for them. For thus saith the Lord, behold, I, even I, will both search my sheep and seek them out. As a shepherd seeketh out his flock in the day that he is among his sheep that are scattered, so will I seek out my sheep and will deliver them out of all places where they have been scattered in the cloudy and dark day. And I will bring them out from the people and gather them from the countries and will bring them to their own land and feed them upon the mountains of Israel by the rivers and in the inhabited places of the country. I will feed them in a good pasture, and upon the high mountains of Israel shall their fold be. There shall they lie in a good fold, and in a fat pasture shall they feed upon the mountains of Israel. I will feed my flock, and I will cause them to lie down, saith the Lord God. I'm gonna stop right there. Amen. First thing I want to say tonight, I want to reveal to you, some of you tonight. First off, just some very foundational principles about this particular office. The first thing I want to talk about is the Greek word for pastor, which is poimen. That's P-O-I-M-E-N, poimen. And if you can, if you are taking notes, go ahead and write that down. But the word is poimen. Again, poimen, P-O-I-M-E-N. Now, when you look at that word, which is the Greek word, the definition for that word is in the Greek interpretation is a herdsman who shepherds. It means a herdman who shepherds. Now, watch this. According to, and I'm gonna say this because you know, for many years we've been studying for many different teachers and leaders. And this is what I want to kind of share with you tonight. This is why we have to continue to stay abreast of present-day truth. According to one author, the word shepherd being used in the Greek translation, poimen, P-O-I-M-E-N, is translated out of the New Testament at least 17 times. But according to Paula Price's The Prophet's Dictionary, which I believe is probably the latest information. Amen. She, according to her, allegorically records this word being mentioned 20 times, and she says this allegorically. Watch this. Three times out of these particular 17 to 20 times is the word pastor or poimen referred to as a congregational pastor. Now, you know, I want to look at this a little bit more carefully because One thing that we have to understand, if you go back over to Ephesians chapter 4, verse 11, and you don't have to keep a finger there in Ezekiel, because we're going to be all over the scriptures here in the next 30, 40 minutes, I believe. But over in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 11, very familiar passage of scripture. We all know it when it says, "And he gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers." A lot of times I've heard that it's really not a fivefold ministry, believe it or not. But I've heard some go as far as to teach that it's not a fivefold, but it is a ninefold ministry. They come up with all of these other different teachings and trainings and all different types of stuff. And if you're not careful, if every time you hear a general teaching on the gifts or the ascension gifts, if you don't have a true ear to hear what the Spirit of God is saying to the church, some of this stuff will confuse you. And so you have to be very in tune into the things of God. According to Ephesians 4:11, the Bible says faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. I believe your faith comes by seeing and reading the word of God as well, if you look at it and read it out loud. And it says here, last time I checked and I read a few minutes ago, it says that he gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers. And, well, you know, in the English language, anytime you put the word "and" in the middle of something, that means it is also in addition to. And so I notice here that there are five ascension gifts, apostles being one, prophets being two, evangelists being three, pastors being four, and teachers being five. When you go to 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 28, it tells us, in those scriptures, keep a finger over in Ephesians chapter 4, because we're going to go back to that. But when you flip over to 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 28, I know this is some basic training for y'all, but I want to just make it clear to you tonight. Amen. It says, "And God has set some in the church, first apostles, secondarily prophets, thirdly teachers." Doesn't that sound like three individual gifts there? Oh my God, watch this. And then he says here, then there is a ministry or and the fourth set in the church is miracles. And then there are gifts of healings, there is helps, and then there are governments. Now, let's carefully look at governments now before we go any further. Of course, there are diversities of tongues. But let's look at governments. Because one of the things that I want y'all to begin to understand, especially about the office of the pastor, is that the pastor is a governing gifting. As a matter of fact, one of the deeds of a pastor is that they would tend the flock of God. Pastors actually should have presidency in the church, and we're going to discuss that in even greater detail. Here, let's look at this carefully. Watch this. The Hebrew word for pastor, or in other words, which is one of the meanings of this word, is ra'ah or re'ah. And I'm not sure if I'm pronouncing that entirely correctly, but I know I'm getting close to it. But again, it is ra'ah, which is R-A apostrophe A-H. That's R-A apostrophe A and H. Now, ra'ah is Hebrew, which one of the meanings being to tend the sheep. Now, and we're going to make this full circle, because I'm going to come back to some of the what was prophesied in the book of Ezekiel. Ra'ah is mentioned in the Old Testament, which being translated pastor at least eight times. Now, we got the Greek word, which is poimen, P-O-I-M-E-N, and then we have ra'ah, which is the Hebrew word for tending the sheep. Now, let's look at this carefully, because, I don't want y'all to miss this, because there is some slight differences, but not a whole lot. But because of The Bible, which is his original text, being in both the Hebrew and the Greek, we need to study some things carefully here and notice that there is some direct importance or some purpose behind being in the office of the pastor. Here, watch this. In Jeremiah chapter 2, verse 8, if you can, again, put your finger wherever you've been holding scripture at. We're going to flip. We're going to flip a little bit. But over in Jeremiah, praise God, let's get there. That's right after Isaiah. Jeremiah chapter 2, in verse 8, it declares to us that it says, "The priest said not, where is the Lord? And they that handle the law knew me not. The pastors also transgressed against me, and the prophets prophesied by Baal and walked after the things that do not profit." Jeremiah 2 and 8, it begins to tell us about pastoring. Here, let's look at another one. Now, carefully, I want you to pay close attention to this. Again, a pastor is one who tends the flock of God. Flip over to the next chapter, which is Jeremiah chapter 3 and verse 15. And this is one of my favorites because I've been sharing this for so long. Jeremiah chapter 3, verse 15, it says, "And I will give you pastors according to my heart, which shall feed you with knowledge and understanding." Now, if you bag up now, watch this, bag up a scripture, and this is interesting because I'm going to talk about this for a minute. It says, verse 14, "Turn, O backsliding children, saith the Lord, for I am married unto you, and I will make you one of a city and two of a family, and I will bring you to Zion." And then verse 15 tells us, "And I will give you pastors according to mine heart, which shall feed you with knowledge and understanding." Do you know that the number one reason in most churches, the reason behind many believers backsliding is due to not being properly having proper oversight or not having the right pastor? Now, let me back up because I know that's blowing y'all mad. That's not to say that the church don't have the right pastor, but I'm saying that you don't have the right pastor. Yeah, this is why I say all the time with some folks, because a lot of times we sit in some really nice churches. We're part of some really awesome and great ministries. But that does not necessarily mean that the actual covering that you have is the one that God has ordained or purpose for your life. See, one of the things about the priest of old, they had even greater call of God on their life, or a greater requirement, a greater charge when it pertained to overseeing God's people. The responsibility that they had as far as oversight was concerned, I believe that it was much greater then than it is now, because they had to walk according to the law. Look back over here at Jeremiah 2 and 15. I'm sorry, 2 and 8. It says, "The priest said not, where is the Lord? And they that handle the law knew me not. The pastors also transgressed against me, and the prophets prophesied by Baal and walked after the things that do not profit." And so, you know, not only were they have pastors that was looking after the wrong people, but they had crooked pastors, and they had pastors that consorted after strange gods. And so now we have, even in the 21st century, we got a lot of people that are sitting in churches up under pastors that God never called them to. And some pastors have people sitting up in their churches that don't even belong there. You don't even know them. Don't the scriptures tell us? It says, "Know them that labor among you." Some of us, I'm telling you, is that the relationships that a pastor and his sheep has, it should be so intimate. My God, it should be so thoroughly prayed out and so closely related that you know without a shadow of doubt what your sheep or the people that God has given you oversight is in need of. You should know what they need to be fed. I'm gonna tell you a truth. And this I really believe with all my heart, because there has been so many different individuals that God has graced us to have oversight over. Is that there are times when some of you God will flash, and I always call them mini visions. Y'all know when I talk about that, He'll flash a mini vision of me or of you in front of me. And He'll give me a charge of what to pray for, and then he'll even go as far as, I need you to contact them immediately, or I just need you to pray for them. And just in the midst of praying, I can hear out. It's like supernaturally, I would hear from them within that day. There was an individual that the Lord had laid heavily on my heart just yesterday, and I haven't spoken to them in a while. And I got an email from him last night. I said, wow. I said, the Lord must have really had him on his mind. And sometimes we have to move in obedience and move quickly. Now, here's the unique thing about every particular office, and this is not so much an exclusive statement only for pastors, but every office, whether you're an apostle, whether you're a prophet, a prophetess, whether you're an evangelist, whether you're a pastor or a teacher, a bishop, reverend, doctor, whatever a part of the ecclesia that you represent, let me tell you something. When God gives you oversight over individuals, there are times when He'll have you to stop what you're doing and to solicit for them, or to go on the behalf of them and intercede for them in prayer. There are times when God will lay something on your heart or in your spirit to pray for them for. There are things that God will charge you to do concerning that individual that you have oversight over. And that's why your relationship with them must be that intimate with them. And I'll say this, let me say this, I'll say this especially for apostles. Because watch this. Thank you, Lord. I had a feeling I was going to go here tonight. Go over to Matthew chapter 9, y'all. Let's go to Matthew chapter 9. Thank the Lord. Hallelujah. Lord, I bless you tonight. The office of the pastor, we have to be careful that we don't throw it away, because I believe that God is still touching the hearts of many to become pastors. And what's happening is there's too many individuals that are trying to emerge in offices of prophets and prophetess, and especially the office of the apostle. Watch this. Let's look at this. I want to show y'all something in the Word. Go to, if you can, Matthew chapter 9 and verse 35. I want to start right there. I know I probably shared this 100 times. Amen. I want y'all to look at something very interesting, too, because, matter of fact, over in chapter 9, chapter 9 is awesome. I encourage y'all to read that tonight, even after we get off. If you can't read it tonight, find some time before you get into prayer on tomorrow or whatever. Read chapter 9. It's going to bless you. I love it here, because one of the things that you see the Lord doing is he's working the church, y'all. He is growing the church. He's attracting the people. He's becoming that glory magnet that's being released in the earth. He's already declared that the Spirit of the Lord has come upon him, and that he's been anointed to preach the gospel. And he's allowing that magnitude of God's glory to draw people into the kingdom of God. I mean, by the masses. And when you look at this, matter of fact, when you look at Matthew chapter 9, verse 10, It says, and it came to pass, as Jesus sat at meat in the house, behold, many publicans and sinners came and sat down with him and his disciples. And when the Pharisees saw it, they said unto his disciples, why eateth your master with publicans and sinners? Let me tell you something, especially pastors. And if you're any part of the ecclesia, this word is for you. I don't care what you're doing right now. If you only been interested in ministering to folks that saved, guess what you done did? You out of order. You still trying to minister to saved folk. And you need to go sit down and kick it with some sinners. Matter of fact, you need to go, I ain't going to encourage you to go and hang out in the bar because you might have been delivered from alcoholism or you might have been delivered from a spirit of addiction. And maybe not going to a bar is the best thing for you. But maybe you need to go somewhere where you can minister. That say they love the Lord and pulling on your anointing every 5 minutes. Or watch this. Verse 12 says, but when Jesus heard that he said unto them, they that behold need not a physician, but they that are sick. But go ye and learn what that meaneth. I will have mercy and not sacrifice, for I am not come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. When we tap, let me tell y'all something. When every leader, this is why, and I'm coming full circle again from where we started it in the beginning back in August. Matter of fact, I go way back in April of last year. Watch this. The Apostle Paul told the Apostle Timothy, he says, endure afflictions, but do the work of an evangelist. We're always, at all times, we should be doing the work of an evangelist. Here it is, Jesus, he kicking it with the sinners and the publicans. He's sitting at the table chit-chatting, and I don't see that. I can't see him sitting there giggling and laughing and entertaining all of the mess that may have been going on, but I see him really touching heaven and releasing heaven right into the earth to some people that needed to hear from God. And let me tell you something. A lot of times we got folks sitting up in our churches and they've been hearing from God 24/7 and they still ain't doing what God told them to do. But there's some folk that ain't heard from God. They not even heard if they even be a Jesus. Oh, yeah, this is probably what was happening with these folks. They wasn't born saved. Half the time they didn't even know what the word Christian was even in that day. But he came preaching the kingdom of heaven. Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. And look, watch this. And I'm going to go into where I wanted to go, but I couldn't help it because chapter 9 got a lot of revelation in it. When you start ministering outside of your four walls, and when you start doing the work of an evangelist, there is a instant and a spontaneous paradigm shift in your own personal ministry. In verse 17, it says, neither do men put new wine into old bottles, else the bottles break, and when wine and the wine runneth out, and the bottles perish. But they put new wine into new bottles, and both are preserved. And he says, while he spake these things unto them, behold, there came a certain ruler and worshipped him, saying, my daughter is even now dead. Here go Jesus, he moving in miracles again. Your ministry will never begin to move into miracles. It will never begin to move into a dimension of God's glory. It will never begin to move spiritually and begin to do great wonders and signs in the earth until you allow a paradigm shift to come. And you can't allow a paradigm shift to come into your ministry until you step outside of those four walls and do the work of an evangelist. This is why I said we thank God for those pastors that have come up before our time. We thank God for the outreach ministries. You know, it wasn't by a mistake, and it wasn't by a coincidence that for many years we saw for a season that there were a lot of outreach ministries that were birthed out of the kingdom of God. It seemed like every time you look up, there was an outreach deliverance ministry. Somebody had something with outreach posted on their door. Almost everywhere you go in the state of in our country, in any city, you see a ministry with the word outreach on it. This is what Jesus was doing. He had an outreach ministry. He was reaching out to the lost. He was reaching out to those that were sick and oppressed of the devil. He was reaching out to those that were diseased. He was reaching out to those that were afflicted of the enemy. He was reaching out to those that needed him. He was calling the sinners to repentance. He wasn't calling the righteous. And that's the dimension that God is trying to pull us out of. I tip my hats off to the pastors that continue to press. I tip my hat off to them that continue to love in spite of. Watch this. Go to verse 35. This is where we wanted to go at tonight. Glory to God. And Jesus went about all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues and preaching the gospel of the kingdom. He wasn't preaching church, y'all. He wasn't preaching a Sunday school message. No, he wasn't. He was. The Bible says he was preaching the kingdom and healing every sickness and every disease among the people. Verse 36 says, but when he saw the multitude, he was moved with compassion on them because they fainted and were scattered. Oh, my goodness. Ain't this what he said about the sheep in chapter 34 of Ezekiel? He says, and were scattered abroad as sheep having no shepherd. Then said he unto his disciples, the harvest truly is plenteous, but the laborers are few. Verse 38, pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest that he will send forth laborers into the harvest. Now I want to clarify something here tonight. For so long now, I want to say for the last 20 years, because of all of the teaching on the office of the apostle, the office of the prophets, you know, we've made and gave clarity on how the apostles are sent ones. We've even have been taught and given clarity on even prophets being sent. They're being sent as ambassadors or apostolic representatives in the earth, even though they are prophets as well. But here, when I look at chapter 9, I'm seeing here in verse 38, it says, pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest that he will send forth laborers into the harvest. Now, again, he says, as sheep having no shepherd. Let's go a little further. Let's go down to chapter 10. I'm gonna talk some more here before I begin to elaborate on this. In verse 10 it says, and when he called unto him his 12 disciples, he gave them power against unclean spirits to cast them out and to heal all manner of sickness and all manner of diseases. Now beforehand, they couldn't do this. They watched him, he taught them, and he trained them. But until he called them, they didn't have the authority to do this. They didn't have the function in the earth to perform these spiritual activities that Jesus was already doing. Now, the Bible says, back again over in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 20, it says, and are built upon the foundations of the apostles and prophets, with Jesus Christ being the chief cornerstone, being the chief apostle or the chief shepherd of the kingdom. Now, here, let's look at this one more time. Let's go back. He says, and when he called unto him his 12 disciples, when he ordained his 12 disciples, he was looking here back up in chapter 9 in the verses 35 through 38. He said here that when he saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion on them because they fainted and were scattered abroad as sheep having no shepherd. We've come to the conclusion already that the word shepherd, amen, the word shepherd meaning both in the Hebrew and the Greek, in the Greek first being poimen, or the translation a herdsman who shepherds, or in the Hebrew word ra'ah, which is the meaning being to tend to the sheep. He was saying that there is no appointment or there is no ra'ah to oversee the sheep that have been scattered. There is no one but myself at this particular time that has been moved with compassion to see after all of these people that just got healed, that just got delivered, that just got set free by the power of God. They need somebody to oversee them now. They need someone that can impart knowledge and truth into them. That's what the word says that we read in Jeremiah 3:15. Somebody needs to impart knowledge and understanding. And so they need to have some knowledge of what just happened. They need to have some wisdom of what just took place. Watch this. Go back and look at what happened during the paradigm shift in chapter 9. It says in verse 19, and Jesus arose and followed him, and so did his disciples. Remember what's going on. He says, while he spake these things unto them, behold, there came a certain ruler and worshipped him, saying, my daughter is even now dead, but come and lay thy hand upon her, and she shall live. And so, again, verse 19, and Jesus arose and followed him, and so did his disciples. And behold, a woman which was diseased with an issue of blood 12 years came behind him and touched the hem of his garment. They was learning. The disciples was watching Christ's every move. No matter where he went, no matter what he did, he was teaching them, he was training them. You know, one of the things for our ministry, when you go to our website, the very first thing that it says is that the Kingdom First Ministries International, a spiritual hub designed for salvation, impartation, activation, training, releasing, and sending. And this is what Jesus was doing with the 12 apostles, the 12 disciples. They first got saved. Some of them was already saved. He made sure that he was becoming that spiritual hub for them. He was giving them salvation. He was imparting into them. He was activating them. He was training them. He was releasing them and getting ready to send them. And here in verse 38, it says, pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest that he will send forth laborers into his harvest. He had to teach them that because he knew that someday that the apostles of the Lamb were going to have to do the same thing that Jesus was getting ready to do with them in chapter 10, verse 1. They were going to have to ordain someone, and they were going to have to send them just as well. Here it is that they've learned everything. They've been imparted into their spirit. They've been imparted into. They've been activated. They're being released and sent down as themselves. And verse 2 says, it says, now the names of the 12 apostles, amen, and we know them by their names. And verse 5 says, these 12 Jesus sent forth and commanded them, saying, go not into the way of the Gentiles and into any city of the Samaritans. Enter ye not, but go gather to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. And as you go, preach, saying, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. My God. So we've been given an assignment, y'all. We've been given an assignment as leaders. Now, we're in a season now, and we talked about this in the previous year, many of our teachings, how God is really infusing leaders to have twofold or bifold anointings. There are a lot of apostolic prophets, and there are a lot of prophetic apostles that are in the earth now. I believe that the same goes for pastors. I believe that we're now in a time where God has raised up many prophetic pastors. As a matter of fact, I came from a ministry, and even at that time, about 15 years ago, it was rare to look at a leader and refer to them as a prophetic pastor. Amen. But the pastor that I set up under for those years, she was a prophetic pastor. I'm telling you, she was already into prophetic evangelism. She was moving in the psalmist anointing before it became very popular, and indeed very popular in the church. And her husband, which was my apostle at the time, also moved in the prophetic psalmist anointing. So not only was he an apostle, but he was a prophetic apostle, and he had a prophetic pastor's or wife as a prophetic pastor. Very awesome team, awesome ministry team. And God is still yet doing the same thing in this day. As a matter of fact, and I'm not going to really go into it tonight, I'm going to probably talk about it a little bit more, because I'm going to deal with not only so much when we talk about the office of the elder, but I'm going to deal with the prophetic presbyter, which I've noticed that there are quite many bishops that I see moving in the area of the prophetic presbyter. And we'll talk about that a little bit more, because we're going to actually touch on some of that even in a greater depth when I come to Houston next month. Amen. But I want to continue real quickly in verse 10, in chapter 10 again, where it says, these 12 Jesus sent forth and commanded them, saying, to go not into the way of the Gentiles and not into the city of the Samaritans. Verse 7 says, and as you go, preach, saying, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Heal the sick, cleanse the lepers, raise the dead, cast out devils. Freely ye have received, freely give. Provide neither gold nor silver nor brass in your purses. Amen. Nor scrip for your journey, neither two coats, neither shoes, nor yet staffs, for the workman is worthy of his meat. And into whatsoever city or town ye shall enter, inquire who in it is worthy, and thereby till ye go thence. And when you come into an house, salute it. And if that house be worthy, let your peace come upon it. But if not worthy, let your peace return to you. And all of this, that these instructions that he's given the 12, this is what he imparted into their spirit. If you study the four Gospels, you'll find that leading up to this point, they were very profoundly trained in the things of God. They were trained in miracles and signs and wonders. They saw an activation, and they saw demonstrations of God's word. The Bible says that the kingdom of God is not in word, but in power. And so every time Jesus demonstrated the kingdom, they saw the power and the glory of God moving in the midst of them. They didn't see just a good preached word and then shut the book and go sit down. No, they never saw that. There was always a demonstration of the kingdom when the kingdom of God was preached. Verse 35 says it clearly here. He says, teaching in their synagogues and preaching the gospel of the kingdom. And as a result of the kingdom of God being preached, it says, and healing every sickness and every disease among the people. Amen. And so God has to raise up shepherds. Amen. And we have to develop a shepherding's mentality. When you go and you dig deeply into the scriptures in Acts chapter 15, we'll notice that the Apostle James steps on the scene. Not the original Apostle James, which was one of the sons of Zebedee, or the brother of the Apostle John, but this Apostle James was the little brother of Jesus Christ. And he eventually became the shepherding apostle over the church of Jerusalem. You study that scripture very carefully, you'll see that he moved in sound wisdom. He had a strong grace for knowledge and understanding. Again, and that's what we see with the prophet Jeremiah. Amen. Matter of fact, Jeremiah chapter 17, verse, where's that scripture at? I'm going to get that. Amen. I believe it's Jeremiah 17. And I'm gonna get it here in a minute. Wow, give me a second, I'll find it. But Jeremiah chapter 17, verse 16, that's what it is. It says, as for me, I have not hastened from being a pastor to follow thee, neither have I desired the woeful day thou knowest, that which came out of my lips was right before thee. And so we see that not only was Jeremiah a prophet, but he was also a pastor. Amen. And so it's possible, you know, and I always shared this before, you know, it's one thing to be an apostle and a prophet. But when you start moving into a pastoral dimension, you know, you have to be... You have to know that God has placed a shepherding anointing on you. Not all apostles and prophets have shepherding dimensions operating in their ministry. And I want to say that again because we need understanding in the body of Christ. Not every apostle and not every pastor has a shepherding dimension in their life. Pastoring, again, is not an easy job. It's not just for anybody to do. You know, the traditional format that was followed I remember coming up as a child in the church is that once a potential minister felt that he had arisen to the occasion, he's done a great work, he's presented himself worthy in the local church that he's attended, he served the pastor that he's set up under, and he felt as if though he has served him with all of his heart and with all of his soul, and his anointing has increased on his life somewhat, he feels as though it's time for him to go out and to begin pastoring himself. And I saw a lot of churches over my lifetime especially come up in this matter. I've seen them follow that pattern. And Jesus clearly lays out a very specific pattern for us in the body of Christ, and he gives us this instructions on the paradigm shift that we should follow. We should be doing the work of an evangelist, and we should be in release, and we should be sent. We should actually have been ordained by a senior leader, being released from another flock. This is why we got so many churches, y'all. Not to say that God never called these people. I believe God called some of these folks, but there's a lot of self-affirmed leaders out there that have started ministries on their own, and they were never properly affirmed or even endorsed. And so now we have what they call the word I want to use, airlings. They're called airlings. Matter of fact, if you can, turn to the book of John, chapter 10. I want to make sure I touch on this. I know this is nothing but the Lord that's giving me this tonight, because it's been a long time since I've taught in this. And when I did deal with the office of the pastor, I was talking more so about how to serve our leaders versus the actual office. But in John chapter 10, I believe it's in, second I'm going to get it. John chapter 10 in verse, I want to go to verse 25 and work my way down, I believe. Nope, I'm sorry. I don't want to go to chapter 25. I want to go over to verse 11 and work my way down. Verse 11. John, the book of John, chapter 10, verse 11. It says, "I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. But he that is an hireling and not the shepherd, whose own the sheep are not, seeth the wolf coming, and leaveth the sheep, and fleeth, and the wolf catcheth them, and scattereth the sheep. The hireling fleeth, because he is an hireling, and careth not for the sheep." Verse 14 says, "I am the good shepherd, and know my sheep, and I am known of mine." Amen. Now, I want y'all to look at this again carefully, because what's important and that we need to realize here is that the word hireling, again, the hireling fleeth because he is an hireling and careth not for the sheep. So when you have the hireling has a tendency, and catch this, and I want y'all to really look at this in a different sense. The hireling has what we call, I'm being distracted, y'all, because my work phone is ringing right now. So y'all bear with me. The hireling is one of those pastors that have started a ministry and was not really called of God. They were self-affirmed. A hireling can not only be just, again, a pastor, but it could be an apostle. It can be a prophet. It's anyone who's been self-affirmed. Someone who has stepped off into ministry and has completely started an operation or a church outside of the grace of God. And with this occurring and with this actually taking place, when the enemy comes in, if you back up in John chapter 10, when you back up in there, it says, then Jesus said unto them again, verily, verily, I say unto you, I'm in verse 7, I am the door of the sheep. All that ever came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not hear them. I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved and shall go in and out and find pasture. And again, he's referring to the sheep. The verse 10 says, the thief cometh not, but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. I am come that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. So even as pastors, as any ministry gives leaders, we got to remember that the fivefold ministry gifts are the ascension gifts. They're five different parts of Christ himself that he has released into the earth. There are five different makeups and characters of Christ, and they all have the ability to work alongside the sheep or the overseer of the house, or to even to operate even in that dimension. The problem is that for so many years we've had so many self-affirmed pastors and leaders that have come forth, as that it has caused literally many in the body of Christ to be scattered, because they didn't have the ability, they didn't have the anointing, they didn't have the grace, they didn't have the mantle, they didn't have the glory of God on their life resting there for them to operate in this dimension. And with this in mind, again, they've become scattered. We go back to Ezekiel 34. I don't know if y'all, I know I said you not to, told you not to put your finger there, but let's flip over there. I want to show you again. The Lord was really concerned in Scripture about his sheep, because he knew that there was going to be times when people would, you know, the church would grow, but for some reason, we were always going to lack unity. Matter of fact, Jesus knew that unity was going to be so tough with the body of Christ that when you read John chapter 17, do you know that Jesus prayed that the church would come into unity five times? Five times, y'all, Jesus Christ himself prayed for unity, which is the most difficult thing in the body of Christ. Ezekiel 34 again says, it says, verse 5, it says, and they were scattered because there is no shepherd, and they became meat to all the beasts of the field when they were scattered. And I like it, the word that he used, beast, because there are some people out there that have beastly mentality, and they will eat you up. They can care less about how you feel. They can care less about the direction that you feel God is taking you into. They can care less whether you're being equipped with the things of God. They can care less if you're flowing and operating in the gifts of the Spirit. They can care less if you've been filled with the Holy Ghost, with the evidence of speaking in tongues. They can care less if you're growing in the things of God. They can care less about you. They don't have no love for you. And these are self-affirmed pastors, self-affirmed leaders. The Bible says, again, in John chapter 10, it says, the thief cometh not but to steal and to kill and to destroy. He said, but I'm coming that they might have life and that more abundantly. So when we tap into the true shepherd, we know that Christ is our number one shepherd, our chief shepherd. Then God will then, like Jeremiah said, he will give us pastors after our own hearts. Y'all see how important this thing is. Having a pastor that got your heart, man, that is the most important thing in the world. And I'm telling you, and some of y'all know where I'm coming from when I say that. You know, you might have known, a matter of fact, you might have been part of a really awesome ministry. You might have been a part of a really awesome move of God. But the person that was overseeing your life, that pastor, not to say that he was not called of God, but he was not the one, amen, that God had given to you that had your heart, that can feed you knowledge and understanding. Some pastors have a grace to feed people, and they can be fed in that ministry, and they can grow. But for some reason, you could be sitting up under that pastor for years, and it's only so much that they can feed you. After a while, the food don't taste so good no more. You done grown up. You need something else to chew on. Your taste buds done changed. My God. and that's just an analogy that I'm using. I believe that we're coming into that time, y'all, and that's one of the reasons I believe that there are a lot of scattered sheep. You know, and this was an ongoing thing in the body of Christ. It still is. It has not stopped. You got people in the 21st century, especially in the Afro-American community, folks church hop from church to church. Every time you look up, they visiting a different church. And then they'll tell you in a minute, well, I don't really have a local church. I'm just visiting. Ain't that all right? Can't I visit church? Yeah, it's okay, but you need to lock yourself down and get some stability. You need to get you some foundation. That's not good to church hop. It's really not. You need some stability. You need to get yourself someplace where you can be taught and you can have a pastor that's going to impart unto you knowledge and understanding. You need to get where there are apostles and prophets that can help provide the foundational principles of the kingdom of God. They can instruct you. One thing about a lot of churches now, and I'll say this especially for pastor-led churches, is that a lot of times if you have a ministry that is truly ordained by God, you're more than likely going to attract other leaders, and God's going to place upon you a mantle to train these leaders. And when these leaders come to you, you need to get wisdom from God on how to deal with them. One of the biggest failures for most pastors is that because of there being a lack of apostolic and prophetic presence in the church, a lot of pastors failed to release other leaders. And so many years went by where you had a roster of ministers that sat under you, and you were never able to release them into the things of God. And so that's why you need that apostolic and prophetic connection in the church. Now, when you have a church that's been founded by a pastor, this pastor's been serving in the capacity of leadership for so long, and you say, for instance, an apostle comes and joins the church, a prophet or a prophetess comes and joins the ministry, apostles and prophets are never to overstep their boundaries in that local church. I'm saying this because we're all subject to one another. We should be submitted one to the other. Although the Bible tells us that and God has set some of the church first apostles, secondarily prophets, and after that teachers, and then the working of miracles and gifts of healings. Even though it says that, we have the same goal in mind. Back over in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 12, it tells us that all five of these gifts are for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. So whether you be an apostle, a prophet, an evangelist, a pastor, or a teacher, your job is to perfect the saints for the work of the ministry and for the edifying of the body of Christ. Verse 13, I'm just as passionate about, and this is what we all got to become passionate about and not let Satanists and every demon in hell stop us. It says in verse 13, till we all come into the unity of the faith and the knowledge of the Son of God, unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. This is an objective. This is our mission. These are things that are being required of us as fivefold ministry gift leaders. And when we lock into this method or into this spiritual mindset, we'll see God begin to release us into different paradigms. A prophet should never come into a local church where the pastor has been the overseer and has been the elder of that church, and a prophet should never come in there and assert authority. The pastor, however, should be willing to accept instruction and should be willing to listen to the prophet that is present in that church. Prophets in local churches become, and we talked about this in one of our trainings, that a prophet in a local church should be that shamar prophet. They should be that lookout man, that spiritual watchman, the keeper, the gatekeeper of the house. They should be able to see some things afar off. They should recognize when there is the enemy is present and only interested in coming into the church to commit or corrupt evil. And that's why prophets are necessary. Same as for apostles and prophets. Now, 9 times out of 10, I'll guarantee you that most apostles, unless God speaks otherwise, will not join a local church. Now, there's going to be occasions where there are going to be apostles that will emerge out of a local church. But most outside apostles that would normally connect with a pastor-led church, God has really given them that to that church for a very peculiar reason. But when they come and they are part of a ministry, because it does happen, that apostle still yet must work alongside that pastor and not assert authority over that pastor. The pastors are, again, the governing elected office for the church. They are the shepherding or the senior officers for the congregation. According to the Prophet's Dictionary, the pastors are the managers. They're the governors, and they nourish the flock with the precepts and doctrines and dispensations of Jesus Christ. Positionally, the pastor is the president of the flock and is the presiding officer, or the director of the affairs, the conduct and the activities of the assembly. Spiritually, the Lord's invisible creation sees his pastors as priestly kings and or princes over the spiritual region in which the church resides before the Lord God. Typical pastor's task included watching out for enemies attempting to stalk, invade, and endanger the flock. They are to defend the sheep from predators and threats from nature and creatures. Pastors are to heal Christ's wounded sheep, tend to and nurse back to health the sick ones, and seek and restore the kidnap of wandering ones. They are to free those trapped in carnality, idolatry, or immaturity. And that's just some of what Paula Price states in her Prophet's Dictionary about pastors. The other thing about the pastors, and I've said this so many times, don't get so caught up with too many people. If you want to be an effective pastor, it will be very difficult for you to successfully oversee more than 50 people or 50 families. Pastoring is a full-time job. It requires your blood, sweat, and tears. You give your life to the sake of the church. You give your life over to prayer. You give your life over to fasting. The Bible tells us that when Jesus began to raise up the disciples, they were all being prepared to operate in some dimension of shepherding. And I remember him telling one man, he's saying, "No man having put his hands to the plow and looking back is fit for the kingdom of God." He was commanded to sell all of his possessions and to give up all that he had in order to follow Christ. You have to forsake all others. You forsake your wife, your husband, your children, you've forsaken everything, and that's not to say in the literal sense to forsake them, just to forget about them and to walk away from them and never speak to them ever again. But you are to being required as a officer of the ascension gifts to be married to the sheep, just like Jesus. Amen. you are required to deal with the things of God. As a matter of fact, when I remember the old teachings from some of the pioneering apostles back in the day, when you compare the fingers with the offices of the ascension officers, you look at the thumb as being the apostle, the forefinger being the prophet, and the middle finger being the evangelist. The finger that that carries the wedding ring is symbolic to the pastor, and then the pinky finger being that of the teacher. The reason why the pastor was compared to or symbolic to the married ring is because you're married to the sheep. Your responsibility and your lifestyle and everything that is within you is in comparison to the sheep. Now, I'll tell you this. Watch this. For years, I heard a lot of preachers talk about how Timothy was a bishop. Timothy may have emerged from the rankings of a bishop, but he was truly an apostle. And when you look at the Word of God, I'm going to find a scripture here in just a minute, and I believe it's in 1 Timothy chapter, I want to say chapter 3. And yes, it is. It's chapter 3 and verse 15. And it says, it talks about, it says, "But if I tarry long, that thou mayest know how thou oughtest to behave thyself in the house of God, which is the church of the living God, the pillar and the ground of the truth. And without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifest in the flesh, justified in the spirit, seen of angels, preached unto the Gentiles, believed on in the world, received up into glory." Look at verse 15 again. Let me expound on that a little bit more. The Apostle Paul is talking about the rules of conduct, in 1 Timothy chapter 3. When you look at this, and we talked about this earlier, it says, "This is a true saying, if a man desire the office of a bishop, he desireth a good work." Because we're going to talk specifically about the office of a bishop probably on next week. But in verse 15, again, it says, "But if I tarry long, that thou mayest know how thou oughtest to behave thyself in the house of God, which is the church of the living God, the pillar and the ground of truth." So there's things that the men of God, the pastor, and this can also be the woman of God as well, that they're required of to teach and to train by way of their lifestyle, their living. And part of that is, again, having a very sound household. You know, your lifestyle is conducive unto holiness. And when you look at it's a scripture, in verse 7 of chapter 3, it says, "Moreover, he must have a good report of them which are without, lest he fall into reproach and the snare of the devil." In other words, when you step into the office of a pastor, a bishop, or an elder, there should be no reproach against you. Amen. There should be nothing said evil against you. You know, a lot of times, I remember speaking with someone on one before, and this was very recently. I was sharing with them that don't let your good be evil spoken of. People shouldn't be hearing about you. What's that word? Them old folks used to use carousing, carrying on with women that are not your spouse. Or with men that are not your spouse, you shouldn't be carrying on in that manner, and you call yourself the pastor of the church. There's certain things that you should not be doing, if you're going to carry this title or this office. And we got to bring the church back into alignment, y'all. It's time out for all of this mess going on in the church. We keep hearing about pastors being divorced, pastors getting caught up in homosexuality, pastors not stealing the money, pastors doing everything but the will of God. We gotta break that cycle. It must be broken. And that's why I believe that God has given us the anointing and the revelation once again concerning the office of the pastor. Praise God. I feel led to stop right there. I just heard the Lord just say stop, and that's what I'm going to do. I'm going to stop tonight. Amen. And I want to pick back up in this same mind frame, in the same heart of the pastor, the elder, and the bishop on next Wednesday. So, y'all, please don't miss next Wednesday, because I'm going to really touch on this. I really feel led to really dig deep, especially concerning bishops, because what is it, y'all? Let's be real. There's still a lot of confusion in the church. People think that the bishops are at the head of the church versus the apostle. And I want to bring some clarity on that, amen, because most of your presiding prelates over many ministries, and they would refer to Bishop so-and-so being the presiding prelate, when basically he's really not a bishop, he's an apostle. And you know, they can emerge from out of the office of the bishop into the apostleship, which is very quite possible. The book of Acts chapter 1, just a prelude on what we're going to discuss on Wednesday. In Acts chapter 1, you see where in verse 20 it says, "For it is written in the book of Psalms, let his habitation be desolate, and let no man dwell therein, and his bishopric let another take." And then in verse 25 it says, "That he may take part of this ministry and apostleship from which Judas by transgression fell, that he may go to his own place." So we know that Matthias was the one who they cast lots on, amen, and he was in a numbered amongst 11 apostles. He emerged from the bishopric until the office of the apostle. So it is possible, but we're going to touch on that a little bit more in depth on next Wednesday, because I want y'all to get some clarity, because a lot of you all are getting ready to be sent in the midst of some things that are going on in the body of Christ, and I want y'all to have so much clarity and know the truth. The Bible says that you will know the truth, and the truth will make you free. Amen. And I believe that y'all going to set some folks free from a lot of religion, a lot of religious structure, a lot of religious paradigm, a lot of religious tradition and formulas and formats, and all different types of stuff that is going on in the body of Christ. And I'm telling y'all, you're going to come in contact with men and women that's going to tell you that you don't know what you're talking about, where you get that information from. And I want to show you, and I'm going to point it out to you in the Word of God, exactly what thus says the Lord concerning everything that we've teaching. And I believe that God has allowed us to do that thus far. Amen. I'm telling y'all, y'all know I stick to the Word. I'm not swaying away from that. I fear God too much, amen, to lead you astray when it concerns these things, amen. So let's relieve that there for tonight, amen. I'm gonna turn my music back up, amen, and I'm gonna release in prayer, amen. I just feel led to pray a little bit tonight, amen. If y'all wanna call, if you're not on the line, come on and call in, amen, and pray with me if you want, amen. I don't know if I feel led to release a prophetic word to anyone tonight. Amen. Pastor Johnny, you've been listening with us, amen, for a minute now. Amen. But if you do like to call in, amen, I'd definitely love to talk with you for just a minute. Amen. Feel free to call. Amen. And I'm just going to pray for a few minutes. My God, thank you, Jesus. Father God, I just thank you for this word on tonight. I thank you for your glory, Father. I thank you for your presence, God. I thank you for everything that you've done, Father, all that you have imparted into us, God, all that you have allowed us to experience, God. For we know that everything that we've gone through, everything that we've experienced, all was done by reason of your glory, by way of your presence, God. You allowed us, God, to deal with the things of God the way that we've dealt with it, Father, because it concerns our destiny. It concerns the plan that you have designed for our life. It concerns you, Lord. And, Father,
I thank you for the experiences. I thank you for every trial and every tribulation, God, that you brought us through, God. I thank you for every wilderness experience, God. I thank you for every season, Father, that you brought us through, Father. Seasons of famine, seasons of rain, Father, seasons of glory, Father. I thank you right now, Lord, in the name of Jesus, and I give you glory, honor, and praise, Father, which is due unto you, God. And Lord, I thank you right now like never before, Lord, in the name of Jesus. Lord, I give you all that is within me on tonight, God. And Father, I honor you as the good shepherd, God. I thank you right now, Father, for there were times, Lord, when I also went astray, God, and you had to break my legs, God, and strap me across your shoulders, Father, and carry me, Father. And Lord, I thank you, God, for even carrying me, Father, when I wasn't even wise enough, Father, to let you carry me, Father. I thank you for all of these experiences, God. Lord, I just pray in the name of Jesus, God, that you continue to touch us, oh Lord. Continue to strengthen us, Lord. Continue to teach us your ways, God. Continue to impart unto us your thoughts, God, that we may know without a shadow of doubt that we are hearing your voice and we are being led by your Spirit, God. For your word says, they that are here, they know your voice, God. And Father, we give you praise and we give you glory. And we thank you for being you, for being of you, God, for knowing that we are yours. We bless you tonight, God. We bless you, Father. And Father, I thank you right now for strengthening everyone on this call tonight, God. I thank you for touching them, Father, touching their hearts, touching their minds, Father, touching their bodies, Father. Those that are in need of healing, Father, I pray for supernatural breakthrough, God. I pray for even Prophetess Misty tonight, God, for she has said that she was not feeling well, sick in her flesh and sick in her body, God. I pray that you release and you restore unto her, Father, the healing virtue power of God over her life, Lord, in the name of Jesus, that you release divine healing in her flesh, God. Father, I thank you, Lord, for the kingdom of God that has been preached and that has been assigned to us, Lord. I thank you, Father. Lord, I bless you right now that those that will listen to this recording, God, that they shall be even blessed, Father, that they shall be able to take this word, Father, and they shall be able to use it for your glory, God. They may be strengthened in the knowledge and the understanding of your word concerning the office of the shepherd, the office of the pastor. Lord, I thank you. I thank you, Father. I thank you for your anointing that rests upon every individual here's life tonight, God. In the name of Jesus, touch us now, God. Touch us now, Lord. I bless you in Jesus' name. And Lord, I rebuke every spirit of demonic backlash and retaliation against your people. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Amen. Praise God. Amen. Did anybody have any questions tonight? Praise God. Anyone have any questions tonight? Comments? Amen. Any concerns? I know we've been pressing y'all out like, shoot, every Wednesday night, man. I thought we was going to have more than one day. I think we had about two Wednesdays off. Amen. I don't know. Maybe one, maybe two. I don't know. Amen. But we've been pressing, and we've been pressing hard, y'all. And we almost there. We almost there, y'all. And we're going to take a break for a couple of months, but we're going to come back, and we're going to resume. Amen. Not where we left off at. Amen. But we're gonna move into a greater dimension for these trainers. I know the Lord just charged me to do these. Amen. The next training, amen. It won't be free to everyone. Just those that have been faithful in this first training.
But we're going to go to a different website prayerfully. We'll believe in God that we might be able to open something up on our own personal website. And those that come into those trainings, they won't be, in a sense, so private, but they will be offered for a fee, amen, so it can continue to be a blessing to us, amen, so we can continue to grow and do the work that God has called us to do, amen. We're looking to do some more ministry internationally. We really want to tap into the missions portion of the ministry, and we're kind of looking forward to that. So y'all keep us in your prayers. Even if we have an opportunity to do some online training for international leaders, they have the most difficult time getting online and being a part of what we do. But there are so many that would like to partake in it, and we want to believe God for that in the days to come. Amen. So keep us in your prayers about that as well. But the next time we offer another class, I believe it's going to start in May. I've actually already posted the date on our website when the next 6-month session starts. And it won't be a big fee, amen, but it's going to be a strong enough fee that those that do attempt to try to connect outside of our network, of outside of our rim, amen, that they will be faithful and that they will complete. If they don't complete it, amen, well, you know, they just don't complete it. But a lot of times I believe the scripture tells us that in so many words, wherever our money is, that's where our heart is too. It's not a charge because we just need the money, but it's a charge that they can be faithful and consider what they've started. And a lot of times, it's sad to say, but some folks won't commit to nothing unless they actually pay for it. They'll pay thousands and thousands of dollars to go to a cemetery school. Oops, I'm sorry, a seminary school, and they'll commit to that, but they won't give ear to any type of apostolic and prophetic training. Amen. And I don't see too many ministries that do what we do and offer this type of word for free. Amen. And we try to do our best to be a blessing to the people of God. Amen. And we're going to continue to do so as the Lord release us to do. Amen. But y'all continue to keep us in your prayers. Amen. There's some awesome and wonderful things happening. We got quite a few engagements coming up even before we come to Houston in February, and then there's some more doors that have opened up for us even after that date, and so we're pretty busy, amen. And I just want to make sure that I'm strong enough in my body as well with all that is going on, that I'm able to continue to release into the people and do it according to the will of God, amen. So praise God. Amen. Certainly glad all of you had an opportunity to tune in again tonight. Amen. And listen in. Again, God bless you, Andrella. Amen. I'm still looking forward to meeting you. Amen. The doors of our ministry are still open. Amen. Whenever you had an opportunity, you come on over. Amen. We'd love to have you. We're still growing. Amen. We ain't no mega church. Amen. But
okay.
we carry the glory. Amen.
Yeah.
And everybody that's ever, and I don't say this boastfully, but anybody that has ever engaged in our ministry have walked away with a testimony at one point or the other. And they didn't walk away with no ordinary testimony, but they received God's glory. And I don't say that. I don't say that haphazardly. Because of the anointing that's on our ministry, and not just on my life, but on our ministry, God has given us a grace, amen. Even for people who have sown into the ministry, I mean, they've experienced tremendous breakthroughs. We've gotten testimonies from people who have gotten jobs, and I'm gonna tell you, as small as our ministry is now, we have some big financial obligations that we have to meet every month now. And those that have helped us meet the needs I know without a shadow of a doubt that God continues to release into their life, especially where they're having need at, and even greater. And I've heard the testimonies about supernatural manifestations of money that have appeared out of nowhere. And you know, I'm like, I get scratching my head. I'm like, God, that's coming because they sold in our ministry. I said, I need some of that. I mean, but God does it in His own way. And sometimes, you know, it's just like it's like a blessing just come out the sky sometimes, and that's how good God has been to us. And we truly thankful to the Lord for all that He's doing. Amen. And I'm excited. I just can't wait to see what He's getting ready to do next. Amen. I'm getting ready to, as we move into the new month, I'll be on a 21-day fast. Amen. And before we come into Houston. And I'm not sure exactly how that fast is going to go, but I know it's going to be quite a many days where I don't have anything. If you guys want to join me for that, because the Lord has been really speaking to me about the Houston services, and there's going to be some tremendous breakthroughs. You're literally going to see signs. There's going to be some signs from heaven in those particular meetings, and I believe God's going to do a supernatural work in that region, and I'm excited about that. I've gotten reports from other individuals from that area down in somebody tell me Porta. Whatever that city is, Carla, you might have to help me with that. It's a port of somewhere south of Houston, maybe north of Galveston or west of or east of Galveston. I'm not sure, but and I believe Misty's talked to her before too, but she's coming, and there's several others, and my mom has a friend who's a pastor of a ministry down there, and I believe that they may even show up. I'll have to remember to get them the information before we come. So y'all can expect a really huge turnout and almost every night. I believe God's going to do some wonderful things down there. And I'm going to be specifically and very strategically before the Lord for Houston in the next month. We're going to experience an awesome move of God. Amen. Praise God. Anybody else again? Do anybody have any questions? Amen. Make sure we're at the top of the hour. Amen. I know we always say we're going to move and get off at a decent time, and I don't want to hold nobody up tonight. Amen. Pastor Johnny, thank you for giving ear tonight. We bless you, sir. Amen. And again, as a pastor, I tip my hat to you as well. Amen. We give honor to all of the elders, amen, that continue to press and to continue to do the work of the Lord. Praise God. Amen. Amen. Bless the Lord. Amen. So no questions, nothing tonight. Amen. I'm turning in, y'all, because I got a long day ahead of me tomorrow. Amen. So I'm going to turn in after I hang up with you tonight. Father God, we thank you again. Amen. We give you glory and honor for this word. Father, we thank you for the impartation. We thank you for the knowledge and the understanding. And Lord, I pray that this word, Father, does not fall on deaf ears. That this word is like the tree that is planted by the river. Amen. That this word, Father, gets into our hearts and into our spirit. And Lord, I even pray again that you cancel anything that was said in error, Father. I rebuke it now in the name of Jesus. And Father, let every word that was spoken in truth, God, every word that was spoken and uttered by the kingdom of God, Father, let it be like power, Father. Let it be the power of the living God on the inside of us. Let it be your glory, Father, that weighs heavily upon us, God, causing us to move in it. Seal it with your fire, your unquenchable fire in the Holy Ghost. In Jesus' name, Father, I pray. And, Lord, I rebuke again every spirit of demonic backlash and retaliation in Jesus' name. Amen. Love you guys. Amen. And we'll see you on Sunday. Amen. On Kingdom Voices and again on Wednesday night. God bless y'all. Have a good night. Amen. Praise God.